Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin today with politics and with Seth Moulton. He faces an uphill climb, but he's no stranger to difficult tasks. He has 3 degrees from Harvard and survived 4 tours of duty in Iraq with the U.S. Marine Corps. Moulton is running to represent the state's 6th congressional district against incumbent John Tierney, with Republican Richard Tesei in the hunt as well.
Political observers regard Tierney as one of the House's most vulnerable members, but Seth Moulton is trying to do what no one in Massachusetts has done in more than 2 decades, unseat a sitting congressman from his own party.
And joining us now to talk more about why he's running for Congress is Seth Moulton. Welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks very much.
Yeah, so you're challenging a longtime congressman from your own party, John Tierney. He has the support of the Democratic establishment, including President Obama, Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi. Why are you challenging him?
I think it's time for some new leadership, and I hear this everywhere I go in the district. The congressman has been in office for 18 years, and I respect him for his service, but he's passed one bill in 18 years, and I think we can do better than that. I think we deserve better leadership, both in Washington and right here at home in Massachusetts. And you know, the way that this is going to change, the way that we get the least effective Congress in our nation's history back on track is not by sending the same incumbents back to try a little bit harder next time. It's by getting new leadership. And, you know, we're not going to get new leaders unless people stand up and run.
Well, I want to talk to you about some specific issues, but let me first stick with the John Tierney challenge. He prevailed in a tough re-election campaign in 2010. The challenge had a lot to do with his family, the fact that his wife had pleaded guilty to federal charges of aiding tax fraud in connection with her brother's illegal offshore betting operation. It was a pretty unpleasant race. Are you going to make that an issue in your effort to unseat him?
I have not talked about it at all. I think people are tired about hearing problems with the members of Congress, and they want to hear what their leaders can do for them in Washington to get the economy back on track, to build jobs for the middle class, and to make sure that every child gets a good education.
And yet on your website, you say, I believe we ought to be proud of the representative we send to Washington. It sounds like a not so subtle reference to Tierney's problems. Not so much?
You don't agree that you should be proud of your representative?
Well,
I think we all should be proud of our representatives.
Are we not proud of John Tierney?
That's for the voter to decide, not me.
All right. Well, what about the issue? Is there light between you and Tierney on the issues? For example, you know, a quick perusal of his website. He's for a higher minimum wage. He wants pay equity for women. He wants to strengthen the middle class. Are there specific issues around which you disagree with him?
I think the main difference is that I want to go to Washington to actually get things done. So it's great to stand for progressive issues, and I'm very proud of my progressive stance on the issues. But the difference is I have no interest in going to Washington and passing one bill in 18 years. I want to make progress for the American people. So it's not just that John Tierney cares about the environment and I care about the environment as well. It's that I want to get legislation passed to make sure we have a good environment for our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah.
It's not just that I care about education and he cares about education. I want to make sure we don't have any more failing schools in our own district, which we do today.
You know, there's a lot said, and for good reason, I think a lot of people would agree, about this paralysis that we're seeing in Washington. What can one Democrat from Massachusetts, one progressive Massachusetts and Democrat, do about that?
You know, I got the same question when I went to the war. People said to me, Seth, you're going to be one of 150,000 troops in Iraq. What difference can you possibly make? And I saw every day in that war the impact a real leader could have. Even someone like myself who disagreed fundamentally with the war itself. Every single day I was in Iraq, even though I thought it was a bad idea to be there, my work impacted the lives of other people. And I was able to save a lot of Iraqi and American lives because of decisions that I made on the ground. And one of the lessons I learned from that was that if you have the courage to stand up, to do what's right, even when it's difficult or unpopular, you can make a difference. And I think we see this among some of the leaders in Congress today. And there are a lot of members of Congress who just vote on the issues and get reelected, and that's it. And then there are a few members who truly derive the debate, who craft legislation, who bring together the coalitions from both sides of the aisle to get it passed. And those are the leaders who can make a difference, and that's the kind of congressman that I'd like to be.
Seth Moulton, I'd really like to ask you about your experience in Iraq, because obviously it's one of the things that defines you. Four deployments to Iraq, from the first assault on Baghdad to Fallujah to the surge. You served under General Petraeus. This is a key part of who you are and what you bring. And yet you said something so interesting just a moment ago, that you volunteered to serve even in a war with which you disagreed. Why?
That's right. Because I think, like many of the volunteers in our armed services, I didn't want anyone to go in my place. And sometimes I thought about just staying home and protesting the war, or voicing my opinions about how I disagreed with President Bush or our policy. But I decided that I could have more effect by being there on the ground and actually influencing how the war was being fought, and making sure that I could do everything in my power to bring the 36 young men in my platoon home alive. And so that's what I did, and it's why I kept going back. And I think that I saw that in so many others. One of my good friends, Joe, was from Boston. When many of us got recalled, actually out of the reserves to go on our last tours, I was going on my fourth tour. He had gotten out of the Marine Corps before, and then he came out of the closet. And all he had to do was pick up the phone and call the Marine Corps and say, "I'm gay. I don't want to serve again." And he didn't do that just because he didn't want someone to go in his place. And Joe's example was inspiring to me and to some of our other friends, and that's the spirit of why I served. And it is very important to me because, frankly, I wouldn't be running for Congress without that experience. I'm not someone who grew up wanting to be a congressman. I wasn't involved in political groups at school. I hadn't volunteered on a campaign. But I saw in that war the consequences of terrible decision-making in Washington. I saw friends and colleagues killed and maimed because of bad political decisions made back home. I want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
As a Marine, as a former Marine, I'm curious to know how you feel about the disconnect between most Americans and the relatively small number of Americans who serve. Most aren't Harvard-educated folks like you, and it's been observed that there's a huge burden put on a small group of people in the armed forces who most Americans think very little about. And I'm just wondering if you see that as a problem, and if so, how do we address it?
It's a huge problem. And I think one of the places we see it today is in the crisis with the VA and some of the revelations that are coming out of Phoenix and other places, where we are just not giving adequate care, basic medical care, to those few Americans who serve our country overseas. And I think that the reason that that's happening is because people aren't connected, and the folks who are responsible for that care and responsible for oversight of that care don't really know what it's like on the ground. You know, Congressman Tierney was part of the investigation into Walter Reed in 2007, and at the time he told the New York Times that this is a problem that extends way beyond the walls of Walter Reed. And yet, he didn't do anything about it. And 7 years later, we see all these revelations coming out about the poor care at the VA, and we don't have enough members of Congress who understand what it's like to be a veteran and understand how to take care of veterans and make sure that that doesn't happen.
Arguably, we don't have enough Americans who really understand what it means to serve in the military service. So I'm wondering, you know, once upon a time in this country, there was a draft. There is often talk of compulsory national service, for example, as ways to spread the idea of national service around. Would you favor something like that if you went to Washington?
Well, no, I would not favor a draft, and I don't think it should be compulsory. But I do think we should give more national service opportunities to those Americans who want to serve. I think people should want to serve their country and be inspired to serve their country, not be forced into doing it. But today in America, there are 5 AmeriCorps applicants for every 1 slot. And so there's this tremendous desire out there among young people to serve their country, and yet the government can't fulfill it. And I think we would be a stronger country if more young Americans who wanted to serve, who wanted to give back, had the opportunity to do so.
We mentioned that this has been characterized as an uphill fight for you. You're attempting to do what no one in Massachusetts has done in more than 2 decades, unseat a sitting congressman from your own party. You're also taking on the establishment. So you might forgive someone for thinking, well, Moulton, impressive guy, impressive resume, but he's got no chance. What would you say to them to disabuse them of that?
Well, frankly, if I had no chance, CNN wouldn't have named us one of the top five races in the country. And I wouldn't have this amazing team of people who've come from all across the country to work on this race because they believe I can win and they believe that this is the kind of change that we need. I think the story of a young, pragmatic veteran taking on this entrenched partisan incumbent is exactly the kind of change that we need to get Congress back on track. And I see a lot of people home in the district and across the country who see that as well. You know, the last congressman to do this was Marty Meehan. And he is a great inspiration to me because he unseated a Democratic incumbent, one who was troubled, and he became a great congressman. And that's exactly what we need in the 6th District. We also need a Democrat who can hold this seat. And there's a good chance that if John Tierney is a nominee, he will lose to Richard Tesei. And I'm confident that I can beat Richard Tesei and keep this seat blue.
All right. All right. Well, that's Seth Moulton, candidate for the 6th Congressional District. Seth Moulton, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, coming up, we'll speak with Lee Pelton, president of Emerson College, on the fine art of balancing arts and liberal arts. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.